All right. Good afternoon, senators. I'm actually going to an event for the SEEK program. We're thanking some of the important New York Assembly members who support that program, so I need to be there to pay my respects to them. I thought I would just speak briefly, and then I'm happy to take some questions. It's always a pleasure to be here with all of you at the Senate. And I know as we come to the end of another academic year, this is actually my fourth year here, about to start my fifth, that we're going through a time, as so many college campuses are, of challenge. So I'll speak just very, very briefly about highlights of the past year, then about the budget situation, and finally about some current events that are in the news and I believe on everyone's minds as citizens of the world. So highlights of the year. We brought on, at the beginning of this school year, 57 new members of the faculty, whether tenure track or instructors. For those of you who have been here for some decades, people have come to me and they've said they don't recall a single hiring cycle where 57 new people joined us. That was through the largesse of the state. About half of those hires were thanks to a specific earmark that the state made to help support the CUNY system. And then within the internal competition that the system held, we fared among the best of the institutions. You may know from your colleagues elsewhere, those of you who are faculty and students from your classmates at other CUNY institutions, that some of them brought on 1/10 as many as we did. By the way, 57 represents a net increase. This was not just replacement hiring. So that's just extraordinarily exciting to have in a single year almost 1/10 of the faculty renewed. At the recent gala, which brought in more than $1 million in giving, thanks to the talented team that we have, one of our generous benefactors, an alumnus by the name of Frank Fan Yu, so he and I have very similar names, but his last name is Yu, he announced an endowment. We don't go into the details of the amount, but it is sufficient that the business school dean will be funded predominantly through this endowment. And we've initiated the search. Many thanks to the Senate for naming the search committee members. Oh, I do need to talk to the chair to make sure that those search committee members do come. It's always ironic to me when the Senate doesn't quite muster a quorum because I face that same issue and from time to time commiserate with your chair about how sometimes people don't show up to do what we hope they'll do. But we look forward to the participation of all of those nominees that the Senate has put forward for that search. The business school dean will start in 2025, in the fall of 2025. Again, the compensation predominantly covered by the proceeds through this very generous philanthropic investment. The art school is thriving too. Two of our faculty won Grammy Awards this year. Our art school has, if you count nominees and winners, more than 100 students, alumni, and faculty who have won Grammy Awards. I would put that up against any conservatory. I don't know of any institution of higher education that's publicly supported that has such artistic talent. The Aaron Copland School is internationally renowned. And Citizenship Now just opened. If you didn't see that, on the first floor of the Student Union, this is a service throughout the CUNY system. And I want to be clear, because this is consistent with the values that we have, the values of our chancellor, Felix Matos Rodriguez, and my own, it serves people regardless of documentation. So for those who are undocumented, they can avail themselves of the services there just like anyone else, which includes, during the summertime, subsidized free legal services through a volunteer attorney who works there. Our single priority is enrollment. You know, it used to be, for those who are etymologists, that priority had no plural because it didn't make sense to speak of more than one priority. The concept is, if you have a priority, that's the priority. And for us, that's enrollment. We want to offer the opportunities of this great institution to more people. And there's an easy number to remember. 20,000 is the best number for us, but we may need to look at alternative models in the range where we now are, 16, 17,000, something along those lines. So enrollment, for those of you who are students, you are the best testament to the quality of the education at this institution, to what some call return on investment. Invite all of your cousins to come to school here, or your parents for that matter. I'm so proud that we have so many non-traditional age students, including military veterans who have served this nation. So that's just a little snapshot of where we are right now, highlights of the year. Let me speak about the budget. Thanks to advocacy, and I want to highlight and commend all of you, whether it's students who, when they're up in Albany, they are far more compelling than I could be or any lobbyist, as well as faculty who I know accompany the professional staff Congress delegations to Albany, because we share a goal: robust support for public higher education. If you didn't know this, the reason I mentioned Albany and not City Hall. Since the fiscal crisis 50 years ago, for the four-year colleges of the CUNY system, not true of our friends at the two-year schools, but for the four-year schools like Queens College, predominantly we rely on the subsidy at the state level. We're proud to be the City University of New York, but it's from Albany that the money flows, and so I make repeated trips. I'm actually a registered lobbyist on behalf of all of you. The only thing I lobby about is support for the CUNY system and for Queens College in particular. And we secured, for example, something just for us, $350,000 for the Asian American Asian Research Institute, which, though housed in Midtown, is part of Queens College, serving the whole CUNY system. And so this is our priority, to gain support. And the message that I brought to the legislators, whom I see also in their district offices, is we want to support the students and the faculty and staff who are talented. We want to make sure that the contract, which is bargained for by CUNY Central, I'm not part of that, but in the lobbying process, I want to ensure that that is provided for by the legislators in Albany. And we have seen improvement, not just for us, but for the whole CUNY system. The structural deficit here has declined, as it has throughout the CUNY system. That's because of the discipline that we've shown, and it has not been easy, but the budget is looking better. We remain one of the nine institutions that constitute the system. There's a list of nine picked by objective measurement based on enrollment and reserves and so on that are of concern. And I work very closely with our CFO and with CUNY to address these issues. Finally, let me turn to the war and current events. And I know people have different views, and you are entitled to your view. I want to be clear about that. We want to be fair and even-handed in all that we do. From time to time, issues do arise, and we are processing the complaints that are filed. The CUNY system is being reviewed, not investigated, reviewed at the request of Governor Hochul. There is a team of lawyers, perhaps some of you have met with them, that were charged by the government with looking at anti-Semitism on our campuses, specifically within the CUNY system. And just today, we finalized our submission of documents to this law firm. The effort is being led by former chief judge for the state, Jonathan Lippman. And we're looking forward to commencement. My hope is that whatever your ethnicity, whatever your faith, whatever your viewpoint, and again, I want to express support for the diversity here in its true form, in the sense that we don't tell you what to think, we don't tell you how to worship or how you should carry yourselves, but we do ask that you respect the rights of your fellows, of your classmates, of your colleagues, that they too wish to have their opinions and worship as they please and have their identities respected as we look forward to the commencement. It's our 100th commencement exercise. You might wonder about that. It's because some years we've had more than one. So we are founded in 1937, so not quite 100 years old, but it's our 100th commencement exercise. We expect that. We yearn for it, and we will ensure that it occurs in person on our beautiful campus, and that it is not disrupted. Just today, I finalized a document that sets forth guidelines. These were requested by the governor, that explain that if you express yourself with a button or anything like that, that's fine. We respect that. Doesn't matter what the button says. It could say Wu's the best president. It could say Wu's the worst president. You aren't entitled to do that. You can carry a sign. But if you come in and you unfurl a banner that's 6 feet tall and 4 feet wide and it obstructs the view of those behind you or of those on the platform party, that will not be permitted. If you have noise equipment, if you amplify sound, if you do something that is deliberately disruptive of the enjoyment of the other graduates who also have rights, so many of them the first in their families to have completed an undergraduate degree, we will de-escalate. Our goal here is to try to continue to maintain the celebratory atmosphere, but we won't permit disruption of commencement. So I hope that you will join me the Thursday after the Memorial Day holiday as we celebrate with all of you. I know some of you, even senators, will be graduating on that festive occasion, and the baccalaureate program the Tuesday evening before. So that just gives you a little bit of a sense of where we are and where we're headed. I look forward to the summer, a little bit of rest. I don't, by the way, go away for the summer. Sometimes students, even faculty, ask, oh, what are your plans for the summer break? I continue to come to work here to help support you. And we will look forward to welcoming a new class in the fall, which I hope will be more robust with all of your cousins and your other relatives. I'm happy to take some questions before I have to go receive our guests at the SEEK program over in the Meiskens conference room. Chair Ferguson, do we have a minute or two?
Yes, please. We are missing microphones.
Does anyone have any questions? Arizona County. The document you mentioned that you just finalized that you're sending to the governor. Are we going to be able to see that prior to the convention?
We have put out a series of communications. Let me discuss whether it's appropriate to share that specific document. You probably received Monday or Tuesday an email from me about commencement guidelines. We will expand upon that, and it basically mirrors that document. You know, sometimes on campus I'm accosted by people who say, you're the guy who sends me emails. So at least I know that I'm known for that, although I would welcome the advice and counsel of students. How can I get more students, in particular, to click and open those emails? Because sometimes people implore me, won't you tell us what's going on at commencement? And I say, well, I just did 72 hours ago, and we did it again 24 hours after that. So regrettably, not everyone clicks those emails. But if there's a specific question about commencement, don't hesitate to ask.
Further questions?
Yes. President Wu, I've been here a little bit longer than you, for 24 years now. And this is the first semester that I've been disappointed and dismayed by three things. The first is the way the handling of the firing of the 26 full-time faculty members on annual contracts was handled. And as you know, there was a vote for a motion of censure where 26 members of the 31 in attendance voted to censure you, Provost Price, and CFO Loughran. That's the first thing that I found dismaying. The second thing is the presence of NYPD on several occasions, on campus on several occasions over this semester in particular. The only reason I could see was peaceful protests by students, would they appear to be students. My question is, will this happen on commencement? And the third thing that I find dismaying is that my students, or our students in Queens Hall, are now arriving 15 to 20 minutes late because the gates between Queens Hall and the main campus have been closed 2 weeks before the semester ends. Can that be changed?
Thank you. Let me take these in reverse order, if you'll permit me. As to Queens Hall, we do know that it is integral. It's important. So many of our humanities and arts programs and clinical programs are housed in Queens Hall. And of the two different access points, we did, based on input from all of you, open one of the two. We are unable to provide for the safety of everyone here if we cannot staff the other. As to the war and concerns about safety, I'm implored daily, including by community members and so many constituents, to increase the safety measures we have here. So I do understand your concern. I will simply note that many have come to me, including parents of families of students and their families, who write and express that they feel there need to be additional safety measures. We work closely with the NYPD Community Affairs Office. I want to be clear about which office we work with. They're the folks who engage in the neighborhood contact and have a different strategy and style and tactics. They are not, as you may have seen elsewhere, not here at Queens College, an anti-terrorism unit, a SWAT unit, or a more aggressive unit. It is the Community Affairs Office that has from time to time come out. We have requested their assistance, as well as that of the CUNY Central Office, which sends a SAFE team because of incidents that have occurred. I know that many perceive what happened at our sister institution, City College, up in Harlem, as a harbinger, and I will say that there, a majority of the individuals involved were not City College students. That has been confirmed. And there were acts of violence, not just property damage, which was substantial, to the financial aid office in particular, but it appears that there may even have been interest in abduction of officials. Some of those who were apprehended had zip ties and other things that would be used for the physical restraint of persons, as well as military-grade hardware not typically available to civilians that were deployed in some of the violent actions that occurred there. I've personally reviewed some of the video footage that has been made available, and I don't doubt that you will hear more from President Vince Boudreau of Citi. We want to de-escalate. I want to be clear about a few things. I want to be even-handed and fair. Our enrollment is about one-quarter Jewish and about one-sixth Muslim. It's incredibly diverse. That's why I'm here. I'm proud of that. And it includes so many people, regardless of their background, with different viewpoints as well. And so I'm trying to do everything I can to ensure that First Amendment rights are protected, but that threats of violence are addressed promptly and swiftly. And my email inbox is full of people whose concerns I take seriously, your peers, who write to me to say they feel physically threatened. They are the children or grandchildren of Holocaust survivors, for example, and they believe that if we do not address in a thoughtful, legally appropriate manner some of the threats that they see manifested, including on social media, that violence is imminent. So I do appreciate so much the concerns you've raised, and I hope you will not hesitate, I'm confident you won't, to continue to express these viewpoints from time to time. As to the budget situation, allow me to express contrition. And I know that Provost Price appeared before this same body, and I endorse everything that she said. Provost Price has, along with our CFO, Joe Loughran, been so important as the chief academic officer here. And I just know that she has been invaluable, indefatigable, and dedicated to her responsibilities. Though I believe she shares my sense that there are some things that from time to time it is mandated that we do. And in particular, I wish to make clear some aspects of the record that the CUNY Central Office, and we are part of a system, though I am afforded considerable autonomy, I am not with limitless authority. Midway through the fiscal year in December of last year, after Thanksgiving, issued a mandate for a $4.3 million additional cut about which the provost, the CFO, and I had no warning. This is not a mandate that I am at liberty to disregard. It was not targeted to us in particular. Multiple institutions, nine in particular, within the CUNY system, had to undertake more stringent measures, and the entirety of the system faced a true budget crisis. So at the direction of the Chancellery, which operates under the supervision of the Board of Trustees, in December, we were required to make a good faith effort, and we have improved as best as we can. And I know that involves human cost and sacrifice, and that is borne unevenly. So there were two dozen substitute faculty on semester-by-semester contracts capped at 2 years who did not continue. Nobody was terminated, and we did everything we could to rescue as many. I believe approximately half of them were retained at Queens College in a different capacity. Again, this is not something that I am proud that we were required to do. I hope to never have to do this again, and I do understand the need for better communication. So I hope that I've addressed all these concerns. I think I have maybe 1 minute left. If there's an additional question, I defer to your chair.
Thank you. Are there other questions? Or one more question? I would say just some questions in advance, and Karen, hopefully pass all of those things that are on
this one. Thank you for your input. Thank you. Have a great summer. We'll see you at commencement. And for those of you who aren't graduating, we look forward to seeing you in the fall. For those of you who are graduating, congratulations. Take care.
Thank you all. We're checking on a quorum here. We gained one and lost one. We do have a quorum. Excellent. Call the meeting to order. Thank you for being here. And people are busy and running off to things. So let's, well, I don't want to say speed run it, but let's do this. First off is the approval of the agenda. I'll go ahead and move that and ask for unanimous consent. Is there any objection or additions to our agenda today? Seeing none, we'll move along. Next is to approve, the Academic Senate meeting minutes of April 11th, 2024. And I will again take the liberty of moving those and asking for unanimous consent. Is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, those are approved. Now we have announcements, administrative reports, and memorials. Are there any announcements or memorials? Nobody wants to announce the department parties or anything like that? Show up? Okay. We were expecting to have a guest speaker, Arturo Soto, president of the Committee for Disabled Students, who had a presentation, but life must have gotten in the way. So we'll enter. Oh, there we are. Yes. Please come. I'm sorry. Let me start that sentence over. I would like to welcome Arturo Soto, president of the Committee for Disabled Students, to describe his office and what it does.
Sure. Do you know how to make it full screen?
I think you click that.
Perfect. Hi, Arthur. How are you? Come here, please. You can use this microphone.
Dr. Ferguson.
Good to see you. And do you know how to use the...
Just click next to me.
Yeah, excellent. Okay.
Good afternoon, esteemed members of the Academic Senate. I hope everyone's doing well today. In case anyone was wondering, I was able to flawlessly get myself all the way down here because the last time I was in this room, I had the privilege to take an intro to archaeology course. So I know my way around this room, but I am legally blind. I'm joined here today by my guide dog. I call her my left paw. And somewhere in this room should be my right hand, which is the vice president of CDS, Kathy He. Kathy, if you're here, if you could please stand. So everyone could see you. Please, feel welcome. Everyone, Kathy He, vice president of CDS. And we're here today just to bring some information and talk to you all folks about the Committee for Disabled Students here at Queens College, what it is that we do, and just to hopefully establish a collaborative network, right, so that we can better support our students, all of our students. So before we get started, just a very quick fact about our logo, which I recently learned, surprisingly, which I thought was very interesting. Our logo represents five dots, one of which is colored differently. And that symbolizes that one in six people have some sort of disability. That's 16% of the world's population with some sort of disability. So in our classrooms that usually are about 20 to 25 students, you know, those average-sized classrooms, just think about it that without us even realizing it, there could very well be at least one or two students with a disability in that class. So let's get started. Go next. All right. So CDS, we really like to see the ability in disability. And you, I will hope, you will all see that in our presentation and in what it is that we've done, what it is that we're working on, and what it is that we have planned. So before we start, some of our notable CDS alum and former presidents have gone on to do great things. So I really like this quote by one of our former CDS leaders, Dr. Chris Rosa, who went on to lead CUNY's inclusion, student inclusion programs after leaving Queens College, and now leads the Viscardi Center, a network of empowerment for individuals with disabilities. He said that this is a movement that is much larger than anyone, much larger than himself, than myself. And he found that even more than part of a movement, he was becoming a part of a burgeoning American disability culture. And I really like those words because oftentimes we perceive disability or we think of disability as a bad word. It is not a bad word. I am proud to say that I am a disabled man. The term does not take anything away from me. I like to think of a disability as a disability as a pizza slice, right? And you can think of me as the pizza pie. That slice is only one part of who I am, one part of my identity. But it is very, very tangible, a very tangible part. So let's keep going. So just a very quick introduction because I think that got away from me in the beginning. My name is Arturo Soto. I serve as the current president of the Committee for Disabled Students here at Queens College. Before serving as president for the Committee for Disabled Students, I served as vice president. And just this past academic year, I've also had the privilege of serving as secretary for the CUNY Coalition for Students with Disabilities. So I am very, very passionate about disability rights and disability awareness and just making sure that everyone, regardless of abilities or backgrounds, can achieve what they set their mind to. So some of our missions and objectives are advocating for students with disabilities. And our mission really is twofold. It is advocating for students, but also making sure that Queens College is an inclusive and accessible place. We strive to create an environment where people with and without disabilities can come together and learn from each other and thrive collectively. So some of the services that we offer include room changes for accessibility. We advocate for and facilitate room changes for students who require accessibility accommodations. We provide information and rights to students regarding services available to them, particular students with disabilities. We provide tutoring services. We have a tutoring program that offers students with disabilities extra tutoring so that they can excel and succeed in their classes. We also provide assistance with mobility aids. Students requiring assistance in either getting a wheelchair, getting a white cane, or any aid so that they can get to and from their class safely and successfully, we also help with that. And lastly, we advocate for students who encounter issues with faculty, bullying, and other disability-related issues. So a little bit about the history and our achievements. CDS is one of the oldest disability advocacy organizations in CUNY. We've been here since 1972. We predate the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and some of our, some of my predecessors, some of our former leaders advocated for the ADA as well. We saw previously Dr. Chris Rosa in a picture with late disability rights advocate Judith Heumann. We have also a proud history of advocating for students with disabilities and making tangible improvements on accessibility on campus. We funded ramps, we funded doors, signage, even an accessible entrance. I'm not sure if you've all seen that sign as we come in through the Kisena Gate entrance, the one where public safety is. There is a big, believe it's blue, don't quote me on that, again, legally blind, blue sign that says sponsored by CDS. That is an accessible entrance that we have sponsored before, and we've made sure to let students know, let the community know, and especially those who take AccessoRide, let AccessoRide know that that's a good drop-off and pick-up location. And also our initiatives range from hosting awareness events to funding accessible infrastructure, like I said, so we can go on. One of our most popular events and one of our things that we're most known for is that ADA barbecue. CDS has had the privilege of hosting the ADA barbecue for over, I want to say, 2 decades now. It's been a long-standing tradition, not including pandemic year, of course. That year, we did move it online. But we've had this honor of bringing the community together for several years. It attracts a lot of community engagement, a lot of VIPs, legislatures, and our champions in the state and local assemblies. So it's a great opportunity for students to come out, show support, for faculty to come out, show support. So I'll just throw the date out there. This year, the ADA barbecue will be on July 25th, a day before the anniversary of the ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act. And this year, we will be celebrating its 35th anniversary. So we've also focused on programs and hosting events, like I mentioned, for bringing the community together. And I'm also very excited to announce that just this past semester, in the month of April, CUNY Disability Awareness Month, CDS organized and we held our first ever adaptive campus tour. So we were very excited to partner with Educational Vision Services in the DOE and bring blind and low vision prospective students to campus so that they can envision themselves in this environment. So we are very big also in promoting high school to college transition. We've been working very closely with the Office of Student Enrollment and Management and Student Affairs because we do see Queens College as being a beacon for students with disabilities. CUNY is the largest urban university systems, and we can be a beacon with this beautiful campus that we have. All right. So like I mentioned before, we also do have a very robust tutoring program that we've been working very hard to improve this past academic year. So here are some quick numbers for you all folks. So this past academic year, we had 20 students request tutoring. Of those students, only 8 were matched with tutors. Students who received tutoring twice were 1. As far as tutors go, we had 36 applications. We received 36 applications, all Queens College related, either current student or alum. Of those 36, 8 were matched with students, and 4 were hired the previous semester. We retained those 4, and we doubled that number the following semester to a total of 8 tutors to finish off the academic year. It is our plans and our goals to double that by next academic year, by this time next year, because the demand is there. If we are to assume that we receive the same number of requests, we can provide all those students with tutors. An issue that we had this past academic year was finding tutors that were skilled in certain subject areas. A lot of areas that are very high in demand for us, at least according to our records for the past academic years, have been psych and English courses, but we also get requests for, again, all sorts of courses. So I also want to take this opportunity to just connect with you all and better establish a communication, a collaborative spirit, and a collaborative network so that we can better support our students. So when those students come to us with requests for tutoring, that we can also count on you all as a second source, right, to find those tutors. You all know students, we know our student colleagues as well, so that way we can start not only providing more tutoring for students that with disabilities that require it, but also another component to the tutoring program, the other side of the coin is that we provide job opportunities for current students, for alum. This is a paid position. It is $20 to $25 an hour, depending on experience, depending on tutoring load. And it is a great opportunity for students to also gain experience. As far as networking and collaboration, this past academic year, that has been one of our top priorities. We have built partnerships with campus organizations, clubs, and offices to amplify our reach and resources. And we've also established a collaboration with the Career Center, which has expanded job opportunities for students to become tutors within our tutoring program. Outside of campus, I have had the privilege, on behalf of CDS, to advocate for students with disabilities through engagement with college and university leadership, just like President Wu, like EBC Wendy Hensel from the university leadership. I've also given testimony in front of our champions in the state legislature, advocating and supporting the CUNY budget request, also advocating for Queens College so that we also get our requested budget request, and that we have our necessary funds so that not only disability services can continue, but that we can really, right, enhance the college experience for all students. And on that note, before I end, I really want to reiterate that CDS is here for all students. I know that there's this misconception with our name, Committee for Disabled Students, that we are only for disabled students, but here's a quick fact, if you will. The disability community is the one community that anyone, regardless of who they are, where they come from, what they think, what they like, whether they like pineapple on their pizza, none of these things matter. It is the one community that anyone can join at any point in their lives. And that's why we are very big on awareness. We are very big on inclusion and education. I lost my vision 4 years ago when I was, well, let me not give that away, but I lost my vision 4 years ago and it came at a surprise. It was unexpected. And I got my guide dog a year after, and that really helped pick up my life again. Navigating, mobility, getting back to where I needed to be. But the point I'm trying to make is it came unexpectedly. It came later on in life. So we are very big on awareness, education. So I want to invite you all to support our efforts and join us in creating a more inclusive and equitable environment for all members of our campus community. So thank you, everyone. Thank you for your attention. Thank you, Dr. Ferguson, for inviting me here today. And if you have any questions, I am happy to answer.
Thank you so much, Arturo. And Arturo's contact information is here as well. You can probably reach out, right?
Thank you so much.
I'm looking at
this to you. Before I forget it. I have everything on here. Thank you.
Thank you
so much. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. Thank you, Arturo. Excellent. No special motions. Still no special motions. Oh, welcome to the new students. We're going to get to the next meeting in just a moment. We're going to finish this one up. Do my best to snap it along. Committee reports. Is there a report from the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee? Microphone stand. I hope I got the height right, Ken.
Lord, you sign and share the undergraduate curriculum committee. I'd like to move the minutes of the undergraduate curriculum committee from April 11th and ask unanimous consent.
Thank you, Ken. Are there any objections or debate? Okay, seeing none, the minutes are accepted. Is there a report from the graduate curriculum committee?
Data body, biology, and the chair of the GCC. I move to approve the minutes both of March 13th and April 3rd of the Graduate Curriculum Committee and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you, David. Is there any objection, any debate? Okay, seeing none, the minutes are approved. Thank you. And I don't see my colleague, so I will take the liberty of moving the nominating committee report dated May 9th, which was sent to you, I think, Monday or Tuesday. There were just two names on that. And I'll ask for your unanimous consent. Are there any objections to the nominating committee report? Seeing none, it's approved. No old business, no new business. Don't go far. If you're staying around, if you're not staying around, thank you so much for your service and participation in the Senate this year. And our parliamentarian has made a motion to adjourn, so we will do so. Please come check in again with Kat if you're serving another term. Thank you.